Gracious Father, we are so privileged, Lord, to come together to worship you in spirit and in truth, knowing that you came down with your truth and revealed not only yourself, O God, your great plan, but your word from, as Brother Bram said, from cover to cover. We have it all. Father, I just pray that we would be good stewards of that which you have given to us. Help us this day, Lord, to be blessed as we walk in the light as you are in that light, having fellowship with you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday, I thought that we had ended our study on the end time insanity by showing you how it all begins, and then showing you the alternative to the end time insanity, which begins your path into three stages of perfection, which begins with justification, which makes a way for sanctification, which makes a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost to come in, giving you birth into eternal life. Now, Brother Brown makes the case that justification and sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are the movements of God to bring down the capstone ministry, but we also see there is a progression of sorts in that justification makes a way for a sanctified life, because it is the same life, only moving from faith or revelation to a manifestation. And remember, revelation is a manifestation of divine truth. So if you're going from faith, which is revelation, which is manifestation of divine truth, that's justification. We are justified by that manifestation of divine revelation. We are sanctified by the same manifestation of divine revelation. In other words, so many people, they say, well, I got the doctrine, hallelujah, you know, I know the Father and Son and all that. What good does it do you if that isn't becoming who you are? Yeah. You know, if you are not becoming your revelation, you're just going to church. Mm-hmm. But it's not about coming to church. It's not about an obligation. It's about becoming who you were in his mind before the foundations of the world. Right. So we're looking at this progression. Now, we looked at before the progression from anxiety, compulsion, obsession, fear, depression, disassociation, and then total conversion into neurosis. We began to look at justification leading into sanctification, leading into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And basically it all begins when you turn your eyes upon Jesus. Now, it's not a work that you do. It's something he's done. You're not looking at, I'm going to justify myself. No, he justified me by dying on the cross for me. You see? All right. So, justification makes a way for a sanctified life because it is the same life, only moving from faith or revelation to a manifestation of that revelation in a sanctified life, which then moves into a supernatural infiltration of the Holy Spirit in baptism. Now, I know those words are deep, and I would like to try to explain them this morning. Brother Branham explains the process of the life of the Word moving within the framework of the church in his sermon, The Masterpiece. He says, now notice here, the life, now remember, he's speaking about the life. The life that was in the husk, in the stalk, and in the tassel, it's the same life in the husk, stalk, tassel, in the husk, all gathers in the seed. And the life that was in the stalk went, one went to make the other. Justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection, back to the Word again, to manifest itself. But what denominates dies? Like life in Luther went to make Wesley. And from the life in Wesley, it went to make Pentecost. And from the life in Pentecost, it makes the original seed. Now, we're still talking about life all the way down. Even though he doesn't use the word here, I insert it because that's what he's still talking about. It's the same life. You see, what is revelation? It's a manifestation of divine truth. Well, what does that mean? You mean you see it? Remember, blessed are your eyes for you see and you perceive. It's not just hearing it, it's recognizing. In other words, it's the revelation is when the word becomes quickened to you. This is that. Okay? It's a life. It's life. Faith is life. You're justified by life. The just shall live by the revelation. You understand? It's all about life. Okay, so last week, would I put up a chart showing you how the end time insanity begins, and then there are seven stages to it, until it comes to you come down to a complete neurotic from anxiety, which makes a way for compulsive behavior, which makes a way for obsessive behavior, which makes a way for fear, which makes a way for depression to take over, which makes a way for disassociation to take place, which brings on a total conversion to neurosis. That is all because of a choice that you make. But justification isn't a choice that you make. It's a choice that he made. You see the difference? One is looking at self. The other is you don't look at self. You don't look at the vessel. You're looking at him. Mm-hmm. And then I showed you, going the opposite direction on the chart, are three stages of grace. And these are justification and sanctification and baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we will see the chart on the next page as it stands concerning whether we enter into end time insanity or being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Now, I had to keep it small because it was just going to be all over the page. But as you see, in the words, you know, you've got anxiety, compulsive, compulsion, your behavior, obsessive behavior, phobia, depression, disassociation, and conversion. And here you have justification, sanctification, back to the Holy Ghost. It doesn't look like it, but that's what it is. It's maybe too small to read, but. All right. Now, we showed you last week, on the PDF, it looks good. So, this is stretched out to 21 points versus 14 points the PDF we're putting. So. Now, we showed you last week that where we begin at the center of the chart, when we come to a realization of our life's condition, then we either choose to try to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling and do the things for ourselves to alleviate the worry or anxiety, or we enter into the first dispensation of grace and realize that only God who began the work in us can perform it. As you see, the three stages to the right are justification and sanctification, which is the second dispensation of grace, which comes out from our being justified by faith, and then an infilling of the Holy Spirit that begins our life in Christ. But our chart shows that when we choose to not go on our own way, and we try not to work out our own way, we turn only to God, not knowing which way to go. Like Abraham, he just started walking with God, not knowing where he was going. That's the Christian walk. You don't know tomorrow, but you know who holds tomorrow. So what we see in this quote from Brother Branham is that he's speaking of the life of the Word and how it moves from one stage to the next. He says the life that was in the husk, in the stalk, he's still talking about the life, in the tablet, still talking about the life, in the husk, still talking about the life, all gathers in the seed. And the life that was in the stalk, one went to make the other. So the life that made justification is also the same life that makes sanctification. The same revelation that justifies you, and you know that you never did in the first place, is the same life, is the same revelation that sanctifies your life. Because you're not living your life in a legalistic manner, you're living your life in a... Because you just want to please the Father for all He's done for you. You see? The baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection back to the Word again, meant to manifest itself. But what the denominates dies, like life in Luther went to make Wesley, and from Wesley went to make Pentecost, and Pentecost made the original seed. All right? So the life of the Word begins to by what he calls justification. And this is what we want to examine this morning, because too many people have a wrong conception of what justification really is. Justification is not a decision to follow Jesus. That's what the Baptists believe. It is not a choice that you make. Justification is by faith, and is not your faith, it's His faith. The word justification means, in Scripture, the act of God whereby mankind is made or accounted just or free from guilt or penalty of sin. Now, the legalist would say, yeah, I've made myself that way. You can't. This is done by the blood of Jesus Christ sacrificed for you. The Baptists want to believe that your justification is a result of your decision to believe. I have decided to follow Jesus. You know, that's their big song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. That's hogwash. He has decided to call my name. He has decided. You know, it's all about Him, what He's done. Right. You see? Jesus said in John 15:16, you have not chosen me, But I have chosen you and ordained you that you should be that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask in my Father's name, he may give it to you. So to claim it is your choosing him, you have to call Jesus a liar. Are you willing to do that? No? Then just let go, let God. And Jesus, again, in John 15, 19, he says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. To show it is not our decision, just look at the 2 million people who made their decision to follow Jesus, to follow Christ in Moses' day. Remember, the pillar of fire was called Christ. The cloud was called Christ. The rock was called Christ. So those people made a decision to follow Christ. And they all died. Except for two. They all perished in the wilderness except the two. They decided to follow Moses, the pillar of, and the prophet of God, and the pillar of God, pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And Jesus said, they are everyone dead. Now, it is not then our decision of what we have decided to do. Justification is all about what God has done for you. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. So when we look at the chart, we see that our decision only leads to death, to the seven stages of end time insanity. But our beginning to move into justification, we know, is by faith and faith alone. And not our faith, but the faith of the Son of God. It's his faith. And therefore, justification has nothing to do with your decision at all, but God's decision. For the Apostle Paul said in the following scriptures, Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now remember, faith is revelation. So we see we are justified by faith, and we know that just not any faith will do. It must be the faith of the Son of God. The Apostle Paul taught us there's only one Lord, one faith, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Ephesians 4:4. There's one body, one spirit, even as we are called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one Christ, one faith, one baptism, which is Holy Ghost baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure, the measure. Not a measure, the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, there is only one faith. As Brother Brown said in his sermon, Anointed Ones at the End Time, he's quoting from Matthew 24 about Jannes and Jambres, which he says, reprobate mind concerning the faith. Then he says, not a faith, the faith. One Lord, one faith, one. You can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. You can't have two baptisms, not one for the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. There's one baptism, Jesus Christ. That's right, see? Therefore, on our chart, it is not your choosing faith in Christ, and we then call it justification, but there is one faith, and that is the faith of Christ. All that the Father has given me will come to me. Not all that I've chosen me will come. You have not chosen me, he said. I've chosen you. Our Brother Bram also said the following about faith being a revelation. From his sermon, The Rapture, he said, you cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation. Because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that has been revealed to you, like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. Now, faith. That's what faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon a revelation, the whole entire body. Now, he also spoke of faith being a revelation in a sermon, Works as Faith Expressed, where he said, now, faith is a revelation from God. Now, faith is a revelation. There's where I want to stand there just a moment. It's a revelation. He has revealed it to you by his grace. It's nothing you did. You didn't work up yourself up into faith. You never had faith. It's given to you by the grace of God, and God revealed it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation, and the whole church is built upon revelation. So notice, he says, you didn't do it. It's not something you worked yourself up into. It's something God gave you. All right? And remember, James says, faith without works is dead. Revelation without a display of that revelation is not revelation. Because revelation means a manifestation of divine of a divine truth. So if you don't have a manifestation on display, then you don't really have a revelation. I know Brother Bill preached almost for a year and a half on pastor faith because the people just didn't get it. They didn't get it. They want to put the cart before the horse. They want to put the works before the display of God. You can't do it. You see, your works is just an outward expression that you've got it, that you understand it, that it's been revealed to you, it's been manifested to you. And you step into the revelation, you step into the manifestation of the divine truth. You see? And from a sermon, Invisible Union of the Bride, he said, what is a revelation? Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Faith is a revelation, because faith has been revealed to you, able by faith, by revelation, offered by revelation, faith offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Cain thought they eat apples. They still got that idea, but it wasn't. All right, we know what it was. And from his sermon, Anointed Ones at the End Time, he said, what is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you that is not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. So, by revelation, the church today don't even believe in spiritual revelation. They believe in a dogmatic teaching of some system. By revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified he was righteous. Amen. I hope that you see it. And we hear in the book of Galatians how that the Apostle Paul ties justification as what happens to you when God reveals to you his word. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. In other words, says he's not justified by active faith, he's justified by the passive faith. Which then, the life in that passive faith moves them into an active faith. See? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith, the revelation of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the revelation of Christ. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Notice this, it does not come by works. No. And the works of the law is anything you can do, but he says justification comes only by faith, which we know is the revelation of God. It's what he has done. You see, until we get that understanding in us that it is God working in you both to will and to do, he that began the good work and you shall perform it. All right, he's the author, he's the finisher of our faith. Well, then how are you going to get rapturing faith? He's the author, he's the finisher. If God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. All we have to do is just get out of the way. For the rest of the greatest gift is to get yourself out of the way. See? Now notice this, it does not come by works. The works of the law is anything that you can do, but he says justification only comes by faith, which you know is revelation. We see the same thing in Romans 3:30, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. You see, it doesn't come by your circumcision or uncircumcision. It doesn't come by your by any acts of the law. Again, in Romans 3:28, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And then being justified by faith, it brings peace, brings us peace with God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we have peace with God. Doesn't say God has peace with us. God has already justified. God has already had peace with us before the foundations of the world. That's my kid. I'll not leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the end. See? He already has peace. Look. We have peace with God because we realize he's already justified us. It's already done. The blood's already been shed. So the just shall live. He says, by faith. Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live. Live. What is live? It's your life, right? Mm-hmm. Well, isn't a sanctified person's life, it's the life that's sanctified? Right? So, then the just shall be sanctified by revelation. The just life will be a reflection of the revelation. Now remember, revelation is not a mental knowing. Webster defines revelation as manifestation of divine truth. Therefore, to have something truly revealed to you, there must be some form of manifestation of that divine truth that takes place that makes the truth known to you. Now remember, we read what he said earlier, that justification made a way for sanctification. You see, because if you didn't have the life under justification, you wouldn't have the life under sanctification. Yeah, life would not be sanctified. How is it sanctified? By the washing of water by the Word. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your actions. You're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Right? Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection back to the Word again to manifest itself. That's why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, now that I'm living. But it's not me living, it's Christ living in me. He's manifesting my life for me. Alright? Well, now, in a sermon, Jesus keeps all of his appointments. He tells us how this progression was to take place and the purpose for it to take place. So now look on your $1 bill, the seal of the United States is that eagle. Well, why does it say over there on the pyramid, the great seal? Why would it be greater here in the United States than the seal of the United States and the great seal, the eye watch? In other words, there's two seals, the seal of the United States, but the great seal. Well, the great seal is greater than the seal of the United States. That's what he said. It never was in the pyramid, isn't to this day. He said, the capstone that goes upon the pyramid, it was rejected. It never was on the pyramid. It isn't to this day. The stone of stone, they claim, but it never was put on the capstone. Why? When Enoch and them in the early days built the pyramids down in Egypt, we find out that in there, they knew that the capstone would be rejected. And that pyramid is put so perfectly together till they don't even mortar. It was so mechanically hewed out until one stone fits against the other one, so tight, you can't even put a razor blade between them. Now, it's kept creeping up, and now it's all honed off on top, ready for the capstone when it will come. That's the way God brought his church from justification, sanctification, back to the Holy Spirit, and now the ministry of the Spirit, which is what quickens the Word. That ministry in the church will have to be just exactly like his. Now, I believe he's talking about his ministry, but you remember one thing. It's got to be in you and I as well. I'm not talking about the prophet. I'm not talking about the prophetic office. I'm talking about the life, the works, the actions, the words, the doctrine. John 14:12, that's it. Okay, so what he is telling us is that you can hardly see any difference between the stones because they were hewn so tight that you could not even place a razor blade between them. And then he says, in the same way with justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There should be hardly any way to see the difference in who we are from one stage to the next. If you're truly justified by faith, you're sanctified right then. Right. It's not down the road somewhere I'll get sanctified. You're sanctified by that revelation that by the blood of Jesus Christ you are perfect already. You see, so there's no looking between the mortars of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. The mortars are so fine, you can't even put a razor blade through there. Because it's the same thing. It's all about the life. Same life that justifies you is the same life that sanctifies you. Same life that fills you with the Holy Ghost. Too many people think, oh, okay, justification is where I make the choice to follow Jesus, the Word. And somewhere along the way, I decide that not only will I follow Jesus, but you know what? In my heart, you know, I want to conduct my life in a better way. So then they call that sanctification. And notice he says it is so much alike that going from one stage of grace to the next, you can hardly see the difference because it's all grace. And therefore, we see the same thing with the third stage of grace, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Notice he tells us the three stages of grace flow one from the other, and you can hardly look at your life and say when you left stage one to enter stage two and then stage three. It all happened at once. Brother Bram said, when you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, everything you have need of is already in there. It's already in there. That's it. You know, remember he talks about Peter, add your faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge, temperance. Well, Brother Bram said in Stature Perfect Man, he said, when you're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, that's all there. It's all there. It's all there. It's not going from one to the next. Well, I'm going to go from faith. Now I'm going to add to my faith. I'm going to add virtue. Then I'm going to add this. I'm going to add this and this and this. It's all there. Everything you have need of. If you have the life of God in you, you have it all. What more can you ask for? See? Now let's read this next quote from our prophet to get a better understanding of this flow of the very life of God from justification through sanctification and then resting in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. From Be Not Afraid, he says, now, we're going to call a little prayer line. I seem pretty near everyone here as a Christian. And we'll have the altar call as we go along because divine healing is not a major. Divine healing is a minor. But 86% of the ministry of our Lord Jesus was divine healing. That was to prove to the people who he was. So 86% of his ministry was vindication. Right? Now, how many will admit that what I preach tonight in the scriptures, that's the way he made himself known? And how many knows that he promised in the last days that he would do? He'd come again and do the same thing in the last days that he said, the works that I do shall you also. And how many believes in foreknowledge of God, that he foreknowledge and election is by foreknowledge? And then God in the ages, he had a Martin Luther, he had a John Wesley, he had men through the age, and in the last days, he's got to raise something, a church, that his ministry will be. Martin Luther, justification was by faith. John Wesley had sanctification, the second work of grace. Pentecost had the restoration of the gifts. Now, the next thing is the coming of the Lord. So this gift message of speaking with tongues, interpretation of tongues, and different things that we've had now, it's moving right on in to now it's up in the hour of the church in the minority, because they're coming down from Wesley, Luther, and on down. Now, they're right up to the capstone. Now, believe with all your heart. Now, how many knows that Jesus Christ said that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also? That's right. He said this. A little while in the world, that's the world order, will see me no more. That's the unbeliever. He will see me no more. But ye shall see me. That's the believer. For I, and I is a personal pronoun, I will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. How many knows he says that? Now, he wasn't talking about one person there. He's talking about you. I will be with you. I will be in you. The very life that's in me is going to be in you. So he's talking about the life of the Word, which begins by faith or revelation of the one Lord. It justifies you, and that same revelation sanctifies you and sets you apart for service. It is also the same faith, the same revelation that fills you with the God life, which is eternal. Now, in the next few quotes, watch how Brother Branham talks about this life of the Word and how it moves from one stage to the next, but it's the same life all along. Watch Brother Branham's wording that he uses to describe the same life as it progresses. He speaks of the life of the Word in terms of a germ and how it is the same life, germ, not the life from one, then the life from another, but the same life, the same germ, moving as it progresses toward the completed body. From the rapture, he says, when a germ, life, comes into the womb of the female, it don't take on, you didn't become a human germ from your father, and then the next thing you become a germ from a dog, and from the next from a cat, and the next thing from a chicken. It was all human germ, all human life. And the body of Jesus Christ, the bride, will be part of his body, which will be, he was the Word, and the bride will have to be the Word. Word added to word added to word. Luther's justification, Wesley's sanctification, Pentecost, baptism of the Holy Spirit, restoration of the gifts, and all the rest of it goes with it. It's got to be word on top of word, germ on top of germ, life on top of life, to bring up the full stature of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's all about the life. Just moving. Therefore, the same life, the same word, that brings you to the place of justification is the same life, the same word, that brings you to the place of sanctified life. And it's the same life, the same word, that infills you with the very life of God. Again, he shows us this in a sermon, Seed of God, Heir with the Shuck. He says, now notice it. She was not the seed. Mary was not. Just a shuck, a tassel and stalk, carriers of a part of the word, not all the word. Luther had justification. Wesley had sanctification. Pentecost had the restoration of the gifts. But when the word come, now they could produce that justification will save a man. You believe that? Sure. It's a carrier of the word, the same as I believe the stalk is part of the wheat. Sure it is. But it's a carrier. It ain't the life. Then along comes sanctification. How many believes in sanctification? You believe that? You believe the Bible to have? You have to. Sure. You still, that's not, it's a little more like, that's just two more words. Then comes the Pentecost, the restoration of the gifts, speaking in tongues, they call it initial evidence of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. Then they call that the initial evidence which brought forth the what? The shut. But they denominate. But when you come to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things, then the shut pulls away from that. But the real, genuine bride will bring forth the entire Word of God in its fullness in the midst. For He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, what's He saying? All right. You've got the church natural, the church spiritual. All right. The just shall live by faith. Okay. Justification, the bride says, He did it. The Baptist says, 5 stripes on you. He did it. All right? Both claiming justification, but one actually has a life in them. Wesleyans, natural church. All right? We're going to work until Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. You know that song? But the bride, she's filled with the same life, the same word. The same works. The works that I do, shall you do also. There's a life there. No life here. There's a life here. Sharing the same attributes, only one there's life. The other is a shuck. Itself is not the life, but it's protecting the life. Same with the Baptist and the Holy Ghost. Alright, so you see, it's the life coming up, the life coming up, the life coming up. But here we got the imitation, and the imitation, and the imitation. So it looks like three things, but it's not. It's actually just the same life. Justifies, sanctifies, fills you. Now, so justification is not the life. Nor is sanctification, but it is the stages that the life passes through. Just like the life of Jesus passed through Mary for a period of time. Right? And since it is by faith, which is a revelation, then each of these stages is a manifestation of the progress of the life towards the very image of the original seed. It's all got to come back to the original. It's all got to come back to what? Being conformed to the original seed. Look. You can have a knowledge of justification, a knowledge of sanctification, a knowledge of the Godhead, Father and Son. But unless the life of the sanctification and the life produces the justification and sanctification, and the life produces the same thing as was in the Son of God, you don't have it. You can have the doctrine all day long, but if you don't have the life the doctrine produces, what do you got? Church. Just a little bit different doctrine than the next church. That's all. The modern events made clear by prophecy. He said Pentecost. That's why Luther lost his message. That's how Wesley lost his message. See, if the Wesleyan church would have went on, they'd have become Pentecostals. If the Lutherans went on, they'd have been Methodists. See, and now if the Pentecostals go on, it'll be the bride. If you hang back and keep going back in the world like you're going now, you'll be lost. It'll only be the shuck, and the stalk is to be burned. You know that. He'll gather his wheat into the garner, but the husk he'll burn with unquenchable fire. Although it was a carrier, it certainly carried it, but the life left it. As soon as it became a leaf, it went out to make something else until it come to its full stature. And so will the church come through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, restoration of the gifts, right on into the formed image of Christ. Christ is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. The bride is a part of the bridegroom. It'll have to be a word church, not a denominational church. It'll be the word church, the word that's made known by a vindicated word of God. In other words, that life has to keep moving forward from one stage to the next, to the next, to the next, until the body is completed or it dies right there. Like a stillbirth baby, it grew for a while and formed different parts of the body, but something went wrong and the baby was not totally formed. Well, what happened? Death set in. Okay? From anointed ones at the end time, Brother Brown said, now you go back and try to live again. What if that life took back down? You think the life that would ever go back after that old shucks dried up, ever go back and live in it again? It never does. For it is impossible for those which were once enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it comes to pass, they're dead and they're gone. And the thorns and the thistles, which is nigh unto rejection, whose end is to be birth. So what happened to the church? She stopped at justification, or she stopped at sanctification, or she stopped at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but she did not keep moving on until the capstone came down and she was completely formed into the image of the groom. You see, if this message does not produce a bride in the complete image of Christ, if it doesn't do that, well, it will do that. It may not do it in a lot of churches, but it'll do it somewhere. Like Brother Brown said, if I'm not bride, then just, may I get out of the way for her.
She will walk with God.
Amen. Now, from a sermon masterpiece, Brother Brown said, notice here the life that was in the husk is in the stalk, is in the tassel, is in the husk, all gathered into the seed. And the life that was in the stalk went. One went to make the other. Justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection, back to the Word again to manifest itself. But what denominated dies? Like life in Luther went to make Wesley, and from Wesley it went to make Pentecost, and Pentecost went to make the original seed. Pentecost comes out of Wesley until that time. The reason that Pentecost come out of Wesley is because it was no denomination. Pentecost was. Then Pentecost went to denominate, and what did it do? It turned to the husk. It looked like the real thing. And anyway, in other words, well, you've got, 800 churches alone, and they call themselves message churches in Brazil. 400 some in the United States, from the last I heard, and that was, 20 some years ago. Maybe more than that now, I don't know. But, there's at least 2 to 2.5 million people around the world that claim to follow the message. And how much of that is just shuck? How much of that is just shuck? 3 kind of believers in every church. How much in here is just shuck? I don't know. I pray there isn't any. But we don't know. You see? But the thing of it is that there will be the life moving on from one stage to the next to the next. It will be conforming to the image of the firstborn son. The whole thing is, from the beginning, it starts to conform. That's why you can look at a baby and you can say, oh my, that baby looks like daddy. And then as it gets older, you start to see him doing things. And I'm going to get into that this evening when we get into sanctification, showing you that the sanctification is in the DNA. So either you have the DNA of God or not. If you don't, you'll never be sanctified in God's form of sanctification. But you look at a child, that child's habits, the child's psychological profile, everything about that child is inherited. I know there's an argument in psychology between the inherited DNA versus instructed or socially molded. All right, and we'll get into that this evening, but. So it is not just a matter of knowing that the Word of God is true. It is a matter of becoming that Word of God. That Word of God is real to you. For to just know that it's true could still place it in a historical perspective as it does to the nominal Christian world. But to know it, to denosco it, to know it by an experiential knowing. What is that? That's a revelation. That's a manifestation. An experiential knowing is a manifestation of a divine truth. Knowing it, it makes it real to you. Then the life of the Word begins to live itself out in your very life. Yes. As Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead. All right? You're crucified. You're dead. I've died out to myself. Nevertheless, I'm alive. Now, that's a paradox. How can I be dead and I'm alive? Nevertheless, although I have died to self, yet I'm alive. But the life that I am now living in this body, this flesh, I'm living by the faith, by the revelation of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, because it's Christ that liveth in me. Christ is living in me. I'm not living. Christ is living in me. Therefore, when you read, when you see that the Word of God, you see this in the Word, and you understand it, it is when you can actually see it manifesting itself all around you in your personal life. Because after all, God prophesied, God interprets His Word by bringing it to pass. And so when you read His Word and then see it taking place, you are in an actuality living out that portion of God's Word. You then, as the body of Christ, have become a dynamic living, dynamic Word, which continually moves ahead. And so we must continue to move on with the Word of God as it comes to pass, or we have died somewhere along the journey. You see, you're alive in Christ when you see the Word living. You're not alive in Christ when you just go to church, put in your time, do the actions. Now, we'd go on and on with this, but what I'm trying to get across to you is that to walk in this light is what brings fellowship. It's the walking that does it. Because the walk is the experience and the living out of this Word. And as we experience it together, we share together this life experience. Like Brother Bowser said, two fellows in a ship. They're both experiencing the waves, the wind, the chill, the heat, the sun. They're both experiencing it together. Then it is not so much that we are speaking of a word which alone is true, but in an even greater sense of the word, we are speaking of the word which is not only true, but is alive and has become a reality to you because you are actually seeing it in manifestation. Then you are experiencing the living Word, and as others experience the same living Word and sharing of this living experience, knowing is what brings fellowship just as natural as life itself, because after all, fellowship comes by sharing experiences one with another. I was listening to this week of a fellow who was talking about giving a speech, and he says, you know, most people start off by saying, "Hi, my name is such and such, and I work." And the people look down at their piece of paper and say, "You know, this is such and such. You work for this and this and this and this." And they turn them off. They get their cell phones out and they start, you know, because they already got the speech right there. You know, he said, but the reason why in speeches or in preaching, like Brother Branham would tie in stories, is to make it more relevant to the individual. He would say something from his own personal experience, and it would touch this person's experience, or this person's experience, or this person's experience. That's why it is done. In other words, it is not just we have a book of doctrines, and the doctrine says this, 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 and we all say, "Amen. Amen." No, we are experiencing the same life-giving actuality of the living Word. And when we experience the supernatural presence of God and we talk about it, we're fellowshipping. But we couldn't be doing that if we're outside of the light. If we're not walking in it, how do we experience it? When you travel with a loved one, you both share the same experiences along the road. And it is the sharing of this life journey that brings fellowship one with another. You can't help but to talk to one another because you're actively participating in the same living Word. That's why I don't understand how people can stay home from church and then claim to believe the message. They're not walking in it. If you walk in the light, as He's in the light, then you have fellowship. You stay home, then pretty soon you're not fellowshipping at all. You see that disassociation, that you're not eating, now you're not fellowshipping with those who do. Pretty soon you're off into the world and you're completely converted by the world, the things of the world. But the end time insanity, the end time neurosis, just brings the opposite effect. A wrong focus brings forth wrong actions, which brings forth wrong communication, which brings forth bondage and death instead of deliverance and life. In 1 Peter 1, 3-5, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Christ out from among the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And to you who are kept by the power of God through revelation unto salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time, that the trial of your revelation, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your revelation, even the salvation of your soul." The end, the outcome. Notice this end time revelation is to bring about a goal. An outcome. a complete manifestation of the glory of God, the dopes of God in our lives, as Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10. When he shall come to be glorified and dopes azo in his saints. When he comes to and dopes azo in the dopsa zoe. In the life of the person, the zoe, the opinion, the value, the judgment of God, that's when he comes to do it. And to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified, endos azo, in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. This end time revelation of Christ is all about becoming, in the very image, a reflection, a living, breathing reflection of Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that all that you foreknew, you've justified. All that you justified, you have already past tense glorified and doxazo. So Father, we just pray that you, the God that is working in us, both to will and to do, you, the one who began the good work in us, will complete it. You, the one who are the author, you are also the finisher of our faith. And therefore, Father, we see how that the justification actually quickens us to life. And that life moves us through us in a sanctified form, filling us with your very life. And this is all we want. We want to come to the place as Jesus, where we say, my meat is to please him. My meat is to do the will of my Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song together. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.